Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, guys, this is Nancy, and I just had a great session with, of course, the one and only Tami-san. I feel like Tami-san has been waiting for me his entire life to actually put me on this couch, so he drained me of everything that, you know, but I'm happy I was able to. I'm so happy. I'm extremely happy. While we wait for the book to come, I will keep dropping knowledge here and there. So, guys, make sure you subscribe to all Tami-san's platforms. He says Spotify, he says Audio Mac.
YouTube,
everything. Follow him on Instagram as well.
Apple Music.
And yes, open. And then before I go, please listen to our interview with an open mind. Extremely important. You've already listened. This is the end. Go back. If you didn't open, if you didn't read,
open
if
your
you didn't
mind,
watch an open mind, go back and watch with an open mind. But
thank
if
you.
Not, yeah, an open mind is perfect to listen to this interview.
Hey guys, welcome to my show. I'm struggling not to say 9th episode because my producer has been hounding me, but I'm excited as well because my guest today is the gorgeous and problematic Nancy Simen. Please put your hands together for my guest. Guys, I put you in the studio for people to clap. So please clap. It's not easy. Thank you for finally coming. Oh, I thought you were not going to come again.
What an introduction. Problematic. I'm good. I've been great. Living.
Yeah, I would do more introduction as we go. Yeah, I would say actress.
No, host. I don't know about a problem. That's just, I wasn't expecting unproblematic. You've said it so what to me that I didn't think you were going to introduce me as.
Nancy, you're not getting anywhere. Like, never yet say any you quarrel with anybody. Are you an angel? Like, how do you do it?
That's why I came in all white now. Nancy.
And I'm in black. Explains a lot. That's it, so black. No, but seriously, like, I've never heard, like, oh, she did something to me bad. She was late. Something affected the gig or something. Why?
I don't know. I mean, see, I was late today, but you might not talk about it.
Because of your track record. Because I don't know you to be anybody. That, I mean, if she's not coming early or she didn't come early, it's probably a reason. And you gave me a legit reason, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But why have you adopted this style?
Of just being... Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not a person that looks for trouble. I don't find trouble attractive. I don't find drama attractive. I basically just live a life. And for myself, I'm true to myself. And myself, really, someone who's just focused on work, you know, focused on her goals and things she has to do rather than being focused on causing pain for others. Because that's what problem is, like, when you start to inconvenience other people just to convenience yourself or to make yourself happy in the time you get. So for me, but it doesn't mean that if you look for my trouble, I'm not going to retaliate. Not retaliate, but I'm not going to react yet.
Or
more like that.
Person.
Yeah, so it's not deal with. I will just talk about it and let you know. And I'm the kind of person that if I don't like you, I can almost say it to your face. I'm a Sagittarian, so I'm very blunt. I'm very acidity, so that we know
you
where we are.
Stubborn people.
Yeah. So just so that we know where we are at, so that I'm not having to fake smile at you, you know, do all those fake love. We basically just know that we don't like each other.
Are you one of those people who say, you know what, I don't like this person, so I'm not gonna mess with them?
I'm Yeah, I think I'm that kind of person. I mean, the closest experience, and I've been this way since I was really young.
But you really like people, so I wonder who don't you like in this?
Exactly. Well, sometimes you might be around people and you just get certain kind of energies and you can't just tell, you know. True. And what I do is I either tell you verbally to avoid me or I just completely like blank you. So you know that, okay, Nancy probably can feed off. And everybody, when they're doing things, everybody knows what they're doing, do you get? So when I do that, you probably, if you've been trying to offend me and get at me and I do that, you can automatically know that, you know, maybe she picked off of that, but you'd probably tell other people that, I don't know, she just saw me, doesn't want to talk to me. Do you get? But between me and you, you know fully well why. So for me, I'm just, I think, like I was saying, that was the closest one I did was basically just tell someone I don't like them, and that was on a set. Yeah, he just, this person had a thing for, not air, but was just honestly disrespecting the other actresses.
And do I know this actor? This
one, no, it's not even an actor. It was a crew member, you know, but we're cool now. Right. Yeah, it was a crew member. It was just, we're all new. We're just starting off. So it was a kind of energy. And I told him, I was like, I don't like you. I prefer if we don't say good morning and all of that to each other, because he used to get under my skin to say good morning because I didn't mean it. So I was like, it's just best if we don't say good morning to each other, like, because I don't like you.
On my own, how I would deal with that is I would just not engage. So my own is different. Like,
and, but you see the thing with not engaging is if you have to see someone every morning, if you don't have to engage, why not? You get it over with now. You say, okay, no problem. When I'm done here, but we have to see each other every morning for a long time.
But it's not where you greet me for morning. I don't answer you. I do know.
Then it becomes beef.
Well,
but when you let each other know that we're not really cool, because you can't be cool with everybody in this world. That's actually maturity. Like, when you understand that everybody can't like you, everybody can't gel with you, even you think, oh, I have such a perfect energy, but you might have demons that might also irritate someone with an even cleaner energy. So we all have to, as matured people and just people of the world, understand that it's not, when somebody says I don't like you, doesn't mean I'm beefing you. It doesn't mean if your name comes up in a conversation, I will not recommend you. Right. Jonathan, it doesn't mean that if you're so good at your work, I will not say you're perfect at your job, but we just do not gel. And it's best for us if we do our things away from each other. A time will come when we need to say hello to each other and, like, probably squash whatever it is and talk about it, but it just will not be recognized as beef. You both just respect each other to just know that maybe our two are just alike, like we're fire and fire, so we're just clashing,
just on the line. Oh, that's so good. That means you must really like me to actually even said the I think Nancy likes me. Abby. This is a revelation. Thank you so much, Nancy, for giving me a vote of confidence. Right. So, like,
yeah,
I like how. I mean, I like this philosophy towards life, and I think it's already working for you also in your craft. And I mean, you juggle a lot of things from acting to hosting. I don't know if you see this thing too.
No.
Okay, but
no.
But like, tell me about growing up. Why, like, did you already know that you're going to do these things when you're growing up? What was growing up like for you? Did your parents have other ideas for you for life? Did they have other things that they wanted you to probably do?
Yeah, my mom died when I was about 5-ish. Yeah. Wow. So I was left with my dad, and my dad for the longest time wanted me to be a lawyer because I just absolutely, there's like no arguments. I think so too. Because there's no arguments I go into that I really honestly do not at least win. If you win, it means I let you win, because I was probably exhausted.
What if you're losing? Will you use emotional blackmail and cry and say
no
things?
None of that. I literally have an argument. Like, I see people have arguments and start to fight or stop talking to each other, it's funny to me because I can sit down with you and have a proper argument, and they will arrive at a conclusion. No, you don't even need to raise your voice. We can be having an argument. That's why it's an argument. It's not fighting. So I can literally have an argument, give you my points, let you give your points, I give you a point. But when you start yelling, it shows that you're losing control. And that's when I say, okay, fine, cool, no problem, whatever you say.
So because I don't want it to go there. This much self-control and self-awareness.
I don't have this much self-control. That's the funniest part.
No, because you've already dropped two nuggets for me. Don't be acting like, oh my God, this is an angelic. These are things that you probably learned over the years, or maybe your parents, your father. I want to know why you are like this grounded.
Because I mean, I started life really early. Like, I started working when I was like 17.
I told you I'm the male Nancy Sime.
At 17, so like, I have learned, I've been exposed, I've had everything, but I've just, honestly, I'm an old soul. So I've learned, I've also matured. I've learned lessons. I listen to people, their stories, and I learn from them. It doesn't mean I don't have my own mistakes. I know I speak like this. It just comes from a place of wisdom. It doesn't come from a place of perfection. Because even with so much that I know, I'm still going to like have times where I'm like, well, you know better, Nancy. How would you do this? How would you lose control? So it's the same way I'm telling you about self-control and what I know about self-control. It doesn't mean that somebody can come in here, probably meet me in my worst mood and pick at me and I lose self-control.
So you admit that there are times where you can...
Of course, that can happen. Somebody might just be like, poke, 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 poke.
And it's like somebody that you have
avoided your whole life. Because I don't really, I'm always at work, Maggie. I'm always at work. I don't go to where I'm not invited.
I don't even see on the streets.
I don't go to where I don't need to be. I'm literally always at work. Like, there's an empire to be built.
I love this energy.
I can't build it.
So are you saying that if I just mind my business and stay at home, I can build this empire? Practically. That this is where they enter, now they cause the problem.
Well, I go to where I'm invited, but I see you at specific events.
If it's exactly. not an industry event or something that you're getting paid for, by the way, you're not, we will not see you.
Yeah.
Like you are sketch comedy. Like,
it's just for me. And also because I'm a very anxious person. So being in social gatherings doesn't really do so well for my mental health. I might try to be there. You know, when I'm working, it's different because like when you're working, you're hosting, it's something you love doing. It doesn't matter. You love interacting with people when you're working. So it's perfect. But aside from that, when I'm just sitting down and just, you know, I might be picking up on things and say, hope I did this right. Hope I didn't offend this person. Hope I said hello well. Hope
oh
I wasn't.
My God.
I'm a shy person. Like, that's what people don't know. But I've just, my job has taught me how to put the shyness by the side. Yeah. But when you see me publicly, like when I'm just walking into it, I walk with my head down. Like I walk. And so I pass a lot of people. So you might see me and say, is she trying to avoid me? My guy, I'm
well,
just so scared
of
having
this. And you
don't know
get
how
away
you're hearing
it.
Things. I don't hear things about myself. Maybe people say this, but I just
I know,
don't
I have
care.
A lot of friends who care about me, and they give me. And sometimes, no, sometimes the feedback is not like it doesn't help me mentally.
I tell people all the time, if it's not good news about me, you can as well leave me out of it.
Oh no, no, there's just some friends who just really care about me who think that, you know what, Timmy-san, you can work on this, you can work on that.
It's too much energy. On working on what other people think about you.
But how would you know your flaws? How would you know how to fix yourself?
What flaws? Flaws are things that you define. Flaws are not what other people say.
Oh my God, I need a pep talk from you.
No, but is it true? No. Flaws are what you define. You should know yourself enough to know your flaws. Somebody else should not judge what my flaws are based on what is perfect to you.
Because I found out that...
So for example, if I have a flaw of maybe I don't like this, I don't like this, I can project it on you. It doesn't make it my flaw. It's just what you see and you project. So my flaws, I will tell you my flaws. And that's, you know.
My friend, what is this your wisdom from? It's, you have to have grown with old people. Like, I keep telling people that you have to have this level of knowledge from growing with old people or reading books, having like great mentors. Like, I really want to know.
I read books and I was on the street early.
Back. Yes, I was on the street early too. I got my first job at 17. That's why I can relate. But let's come back to growing up. You lost your mom
at five.
When
I was saying, lost my mom at five.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
You had other siblings, right? What number are you?
Because I'm number four.
So you had older siblings.
I have older siblings. I'm the last of my mom, but my dad remarried much later and have a younger sister.
Yeah.
So, yeah, growing up, what was that was about me growing up, right?
Yeah, you grew up in Benin or...
No, I grew up in Lagos, so okay. I went to school in Benin for 3 years.
What school? Which school was that?
Word of Faith.
Oh, I know Word of Faith.
Word of Faith, yes. Mm-hmm. So my dad wanted me to be a lawyer because it was just like, oh yeah, you know, you can argue. I even remember him sending a letter to me when I was in secondary school to say, I can't wait for you to be a chief judge and whatnot. He wanted, not even a lawyer, he wanted me to be a chief judge because like, even people around me used to say, because I'll just talk. Like, I love to talk. I love to interact. Mm-hmm. But all of that talking and interacting and reading now pushed over to the entertainment
Were you
side.
Guys close, you and your dad?
He's still alive.
No, okay. Nancy, don't correct me. I should not correct you. I know what I'm saying.
Are you okay?
Okay, wait. Are you guys still close? Or, I mean, were you guys... No, I mean, like, were you guys close? Nancy, don't come on my show. I won't see you for me. Oh, yeah, wait. No, wait. Growing up, were you guys close? I know he's still alive, but were you guys close?
Yeah, well, not really. My dad is a disciplinarian.
As expected.
Yeah, it's a disciplinarian, but I'm grateful for the lessons.
Yes.
Yeah,
what kind of lessons do you think that impacted you, like your father? Like, what kind of lessons do you think that are helping you in life now? That if he wasn't as strict as he was or disciplined as he was, you'd probably not be doing.
You know, it's the other way around. Because yeah, he was strict. But the thing is, you don't really learn so much from like people who are extremely strict.
You don't?
You don't. What you learn, let me tell you what you learn from strict parents. You learn, especially if you're an empath and if you're just a generally good person, you learn how you felt when certain things were being said or being done, and you don't want any other person to experience it.
So you protect other people.
So it's a flip. It's two sides. I'm not saying that's, I'm not saying I'm either or both, but I'm just saying there are two sides of what disciplinarian does, or what disciplinarian, especially African disciplinarians, because they're like weird. They're like very, you know, controlling and very, but to them, that's like,
this is the only way possessive to impact knowledge in this child or
so
help
that's
them.
Why you see pastor's kids when they,
I'm a pastor's kid, though.
Hallelujah. So
see, I'm not
now
check.
This small world where you see not your leg long.
I tell you, we see if you hold me back, seven. Because when I moved here, I moved from Warri when I was 15.
Yeah.
None of my family members did this legal. So I never tasted that much freedom. I entered straight. I mixed. Most of the people that I met now. Yeah. I remember one time I was living with Chloe in my friend's house. Mm. That's how free I was. Like I left school. I was living with like my friends. Mm-hmm. We're all a group of teenagers who lived in the same house. Mm-hmm. Like I tasted freedom. I feel like one of the things that brought me back to school and back to my senses was my grandmother. Her voice was always in my head. She was so strict. But I know she wanted the best for me. So that's why I'm really trying to think.
Mm.
I mean, there's some level of discipline that can help you in life, but I also understand that when parents are too strict, that children fear them more than
fear,
they respect
them.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying in terms of me and my dad being that close, you know, because he was a disciplinarian. So he focused more on discipline and making sure that we turned out, you know, perfect or turned out at least close.
But you
to
blame
home.
Your mom wasn't there. So
you know, there's always
so much.
And that's the thing about African homes. There's a masculine figure, you know, which is the old generation. Then there's the feminine.
So you
figure.
Grew up. With a masculine thing.
Of course. Figure. My mom was extremely like protective because I was like, I was her favorite because I came 6 years after the third burn. Oh, wow. So I was very close to her. Yeah. So for, like I said, masculine and feminine, this generation were learning how to mix up and seeing that, you know, it's okay to also, as a man, be in touch with your feminine side, and it's okay as a woman to be in touch with your masculine side. There's nothing wrong with that.
Speaking of that, I had more femininity in my life than masculinity because I was raised by my grandma, my mother, my aunties.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not even know what it is to have, I did not know what it was to have like a male figure, like teaching me stuff, giving me orders. I got strength or masculinity self from the women because they were already organizing things. My granny had a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
She was paying for everything. She would make decisions for us, school. Even the places where we live, she builds like proper structures for us to just exist as children. So I know what it means for a woman to be in charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what was unique about my own mother or my grandmother was that there was still femininity in her, but she had to make up for the fact that there was no male figure in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there was still a masculine part of her that I really connected with.
Yeah.
That's the same part that didn't allow me to go wayward when I was in Lagos. Yes. I mean, I did a few things. But like,
no, it's great to actually make your mistakes early.
Yeah.
Because then you won't be out in the streets being a fool. When
so
when you're older.
A fool. I used to always wonder.
Yeah, because you see, there's always that face of being a fool. So the problem, let me tell you three things. There's always that face in a human's life. You must be a fool at some point for you to learn and grow. So you either start that early enough to be a fool and like get it out of the way and learn and then move on, or you be a fool much later because you didn't have the freedom until much later.
Yeah.
So that's when you're now probably a fool at 30, 40, 50.
Yeah.
Depends. Or like you started being a fool early, but you never ever grew out of the foolery.
Yeah.
You never really grew up to say, okay, now it's time to be matured and like to take decisions that do not constantly affect other people's lives. Like me, I see the perfect life. There's no such thing as a perfect life, but the close to perfect life is a life that troubles nobody. Like nobody's in pain because you exist.
Yes.
Because the people who exist and a lot of people are in pain just because this person is alive. So the most perfect, close to God kind of life you can live, forget about being religious, forget about carrying Bible on your head and quoting Bible scriptures. Mm. It's just a life that does not cause another man pain. Because that's why we're in this world. We're in this world to be, to love each other, you know.
What
if I can't love you,
what do you learn to live like this?
Boy, I said I'm an old woman. I feel like I'm reincarnated.
No,
I've been here
let
before.
Me tell you, let me tell you why I'm sure. I'm like this the entire time. I was like, this is me.
I've been here before.
This is me. This is me talking from that chair. Because I think one of the things that actually influenced me was I was raised by my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already involved in adult conversations from as small as 10, 11. Mm-hmm. Like, you see me speaking from the room, trying to see what they're saying. I always wanted to know what they were up to. So when I came to Lagos, right, I could not be friends with 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds because... What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Right? I already started doing apropos from small. From I already know what's up. I already know decisions. And also because I grew up in Warri, right? They didn't really hide things from us.
Right.
I mean, you know when a girl is pregnant by 14. We're not hiding it. The family knows. You should don't gossip. So every decision that people took at the time and caused them problem, I'd seen it. They don't gossip up about Palo or somebody. So they didn't really shield me from all of that. It sort of made me too exposed, but then again, it helped me make decisions.
Exactly. So you know where you're making your decisions from. Like, almost the same for me because I was, like I said, my elder sister was like 6 years older than I was. So conversations in the house obviously were done by adults or at least teenagers. And then when I moved to Benin as well, I tilted more towards the adults than I did to, because I was in the middle. My cousins were really little and I had to take care of them. So I feel like, and then Benin just has a way of also just making sure you're smart and smart.
Yes.
But then I just believe in the power of learning. Like once you're even out of the four walls of school, like keep learning. I listen to people a lot. Like everything I'm saying, I've learned from a podcast, I've learned from a documentary, I've learned from a book or from just basically sitting down with my colleagues who are older, who, you know, by the way, I absolutely love every single person you think of in the industry that is older than I am. I'm in love with, you know, especially the women, like they've shown me so much love. Even the men, they take their time to like advise me. Maybe it's because they see how genuine I am about this. I'm not here to, you know, chase fame. I'm not here to like talk down on anybody, or it's just something I'm just happy to coexist with other actors, you know. And my greatest competition, as cliche as it sounds, is myself, because you can tell from everything I do for myself every day. I'm trying to be better as a person, not really like trying to see who's doing this. Let me come and, you know,
but are you never tempted to look at what other people are doing? I mean,
I look at what other people are doing as often as
do you ever feel like
else.
Emotions of maybe not jealousy, but that could have been easily me, or
that is perfectly
so
normal
emotions?
Human emotions.
Yeah.
Just know where to like draw the line. You know what is inspiration and what is just pure like sheer wickedness, you know. So no, it's okay to be inspired. It's okay to, I mean, I'm so happy I saw this video today. I saw a video of Poco Lee and Bella Shmurda, and he was literally watching Bella Shmurda's video and he was crying and he didn't even know he was being recorded. That's like the sweetest thing, because when he did his caption, he said, I saw his caption first where he was like, I'm fucking crying, excuse the F word.
But that's what he wrote. Them on this show.
Okay, great then. Okay. So he was like, I'm fucking crying right now.
Yeah.
You know, my brother Bella Shmurda to the world. And in my mind, I'm like, he was being so cute trying to, you know, cry. Maybe he's exaggerating. And then there's a video that pops up on my Explorer about him actually crying while watching the video and trying to do the post. He was like crying and clinging his eye, you know. And yeah, that's love. That's love. That's inspiration.
That's
so he's seeing him on that big stage as his friend, and instead of feeling some type of way, he's inspired and he's just happy. And that's when you live that way, you find out that there's so many happy moments in life.
So many.
Because like good things will keep happening for different people at different times. The same way you're praying to me, for you to be something. It's the same way somebody else is praying. So when somebody else gets it, it doesn't mean you're not going to get it. Because even when you got yours, somebody else was praying. So it's just not, it's not even turn by turn. It's just miracles upon miracles happening every day in different pockets. So somebody else's own cannot by any chance like deem yours. Yes, it's okay to feel that, but don't stay in it for too long. Don't stay to a point where you now have to act on it, because that's what people do. They stay in that jealousy or envy for such a long time. They eventually they now start to like talk bad about this person when they trying to take opportunities, but it's not you that provided the opportunity you get.
So it just makes you look terrible. It's like that's how I tell my friends that if something really doesn't come to me, it will probably never meant to come to me.
Mm-mm. Of course.
And also because I'm learning to focus on the work.
Mm-hmm.
On what is important, my own personal brand, and shut everything out. I'm also, we're exposed to lots of distractions here and there. You probably see something that you probably like and you're thinking, but for me, I think that my own reaction to that is to find out how they got there, like what they're doing that's different. So I think jealousy clouds the emotion or clouds your judgment to the point where you can't even get close to the person to know what they're up to. Because usually half the time,
they will give you advice if you reach out. They will let you know what they're up to. But because some people are just so buried in that, oh, what is she doing? Like, I don't, do you understand? They just stay there and they don't
Yeah. You're right. That's also another way to look at it. But at the same time, you just, I feel like trying to know how everybody's doing stuff can also, you know, cloud your own, your own way of doing stuff, because we're all unique in our own creative way. You get like all the big, big people. Basically, there's one Dangote and there's one Femi Otedola.
Yeah.
You get, and there's one Adenuga.
And they all coexist. They all exist side by side.
And there's one Elon Musk. There's not an Elon Musk that is just like Elon Musk.
And we didn't even see
and
Elon
there's
Musk
one
coming
Beyonce.
In. Like 5 years ago, we didn't see Elon Musk
Thank
coming.
Thank you. And there's one Beyonce. There are a couple people who try to be like her or who just have the same kind, but there's one Beyonce and there's one Lady Gaga. There will always be one certain person. So the only way you can get to that one of you is by basically just listening to your intuition, like just taking time to listen to yourself, you know, of course, get advice as much as you can. But I just feel like sometimes even just praying and meditating, reading, and just like taking your experiences and other people's experiences can honestly help you, you know, get on your own path, you know. But take advices and just make it to fit into what feels natural for you.
Yeah.
You know, don't take advices and then you're going left. And that's why everybody knows me. They know me for something. And it's so funny because it's the people that are close to me. And it's just, I will listen to your advice, you know. Okay, I will listen to your advice, but I will honestly do what I want to do. So if I do your advice, it means it's something that I felt was natural. But if I don't, it just means that, you know, it's not something that I felt I could do. You know?
Oh, because you mentioned this could only be one Beyonce, and it's only one that's cemented the whole of Nigeria.
Thank you.
How did that brand come to be? Like, you have created a brand that we know, recognize. You cannot say you don't know who Nancy Sime is. If we're talking about talk show hosts, actors who are killing it in their spaces, who call you. So you started off as a host and a model, right?
I started off as an usher.
Yeah.
At events.
Really? You're one of those girls.
Yeah.
So, and you went to UNAG as well, right?
Yes.
So, I just take me through that, because your journey and my journey they're so similar, but I really want you to take me through your journey from, I imagine that you were raised in Lagos, right? So after school, you got admission into UNILA. What did you study?
Social works. So it's more or less.
See how she hesitates to say social works.
Sorry,
yeah,
I was
one
lost
of them
for a second.
That you do like that.
No, I absolutely loved social works. I loved it. It correlates with something I love to do, which is giving and being. Social works is basically the middleman between the government and the people in terms of welfare.
Yeah.
You know, making sure.
Oh, do
sure
we have that?
We don't
in
really have that in Nigeria. Yeah. I would have relocated to finish school.
Were you really trying to do social works after?
I was trying to. Very much so.
Hey, let me dab.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Bella?
That's what they say, but coming from you, that's rich. Okay, let's come back.
Okay.
So you're going to do social works like as a career.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't plan to do acting and the rest whilst you were in school?
Never.
Stop. Take me there.
Well, I never like planned to be an actor or even anything. So it just happened because I was trying to be in school. It was coming. So I was like, okay, take advantage now. I just loved working. I was obsessed with working. So any work, if somebody even come and work in oil and gas, you don't need school.
What
I
kind of girl
were
you in school? We're one of those seniors who were just by the books, like you're doing your
even
thing.
Even in secondary
right
school?
Yeah, secondary
I was
school
so shy, and I was always like, I didn't even used to go for a break. Like, I would sit down on my chair.
You know those girls?
Well, in Benin, most especially, no. In junior secondary school in Lagos, I was playing everywhere because I'd just gone through primary school. I was the youngest. I entered secondary school at 8, and that's because I had double promotions, like 4 from primary to.
You've always been one of that girl.
So I was a bookie. But here's the thing, though, that's so funny. Primary school, I think I went primary 1 to. Now I went from nursery 2 to primary 2, then I did primary 3. Primary 1. I skipped primary 2, I was in primary 3, and I did primary 4. And in primary 4, my dad was like, just try common entrance. We never know. You do it at primary 5, but let's try. People are doing it at primary 4, and I want to put you in. And according to my dad, I had the best results in my entire center.
I love it.
And so I was in secondary school at 8. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So I imagine how small you are.
I was small. I was timid. I was just like, I was so happy. So I'd studied so much in primary school. My dad barely gave me time, like breathing space. And but I was doing all that because he promised me some certain big gifts and said, okay, when you get this and you enter this,
I'll do this.
He didn't do it. So I became a rebel. And just one to just three, I was like carrying second to last. This is going from first being on like the best list in school. So I started playing. I just wasn't reading my books. I was just like, I've missed so much. And I was 8. All my classmates were like 10, 11, 12. And I'm like,
I mean, I'm still young. I can catch up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm not going anywhere anymore because my dad promised me so much. And I was like, let's do this. So I was playing and my dad was so frustrated. So frustrated. So it was like just three that I now said, okay, you know what? I've had enough of this pain. I'm now beginning to look like a joke to the rest of my school. Let me calm down.
When did you move to Word of Faith in Benin?
SS1.
So you started SS1 in Word of Faith in Benin.
SS1. So when I went to BAPE, you know, secondary was weird because I was playing and I was one of the first students. So I was free. I knew everybody, you know. But like when I went to Benin, it was a new school. Everybody already had their friends. And then Benin is not even, I was not in like the headquarters. I went for headquarters for maybe a week or two. But then I went straight to the one in, it's a branch. Closer to my uncle's place because they figured
where was it?
That one will be too far.
There's one in Sapele Road, I think.
No, no. Ramat Park.
In Benin.
Yes, Ramat Park. It's like you go further down. It's a trekkable distance from Ramat Park. Okay. I don't know if they're still there, but that was the school. And you know, then I went there and then it was like a huge like change of like culture, like such a shock. A cultural shock. And
I mean,
like,
kids are very different from
the
Lagos kids.
Quite wild, especially the boys in my class were wild. They were already seniors.
Yes.
They were like I would see a student talking back at a teacher. Yes, I was like, where am I? Yes. Please. Yes. Like where am I? Like a teacher will be flogging the
students,
and
the students.
And the students would
uncle. That's what they call
and look at
them.
The teacher.
Who did they follow this? Like, who did they flog like that?
And collect the cane and either break it or they'll flog back.
Yes.
My school.
It was crazy.
And when they get into fights, my goodness. And then there was like inter-school clash. I was just like, what is it? I was excited as well. Yeah, what a faith in that branch where I was. It was a branch. So we were not closer to the.
You were not into inter-school fights because inter-school fights were a thing. From that end, I schooled in Warri, so I know better.
There was inter-school fights with my school and that, so they'll have all these fights, and I'm just like, where am I? But it was exciting because, like,
you're just
like,
watching the action.
I'm just like, it's a different life, but I don't want to die, so I'm going to stay away from everybody. But I'm going to always be there when there's a fight. I'm going to always be there, you know. Yeah, and I wanted to really impress my dad and my uncle with my results. I was more into school. I was like, I'm trying to like let my dad know that this
so
wasn't
you really
such a
mingle
bad.
And have friends as
I
much.
Did though. I had one or two, but I was shy. Yeah. And I was just like, everybody was just so stubborn. So I was just like, I don't know how to
what
like
the teacher's
get there.
Favorite because you're not really a
child. I was the English teacher's favorite because I was always
too.
Getting like 90, 98. So she really liked me. But everything else, I was just like, okay. So it was weird. It was Benin was a different. I was more of the shy, withdrawn.
You know what was interesting about like secondary school in Warri? Because I already knew I was going to do this as a career, right? So when I was in school, I now had a special liking for my English teacher because I'd never seen anybody who spoke as good as he did in Warri. I'm just like, where is this man from? Apparently he had like proper education and he was a proper English tutor, right?
Yeah.
So for some reason, I just liked English more than I liked the other subjects. So I was always with him. We're doing oral English.
Right.
My other classmates did not understand my love for this weird thing. Why would he pronounce something like this? I would do my transcriptions, everything. I would write all the signs. I knew everything in English. So I was his guy, right? But it's not that I see the importance of being his guy, right?
Because he
helped
English,
me so much. By the time, my friends, they cursed me. Say, I don't know. Like, what did they write for board? But during exams, they'll come meet me, say, Alpha, this English movie run out.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
But I was just the guy who they will always insult, say, this one don't anything but to put the full English teacher they play. Do you understand?
Swear.
But I see how much it helps me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point, if I was even like, this pigeon, I must learn it. Like, and then in Benin, I used to take pigeons so seriously and how they talk and everything. But then I came back to Lagos. I learned it up to an extent, but I came back to my dad would not come, he wouldn't engage you in pidgin. He was also English.
My granny tried that one with me. I said no, and I had to. So I learned pidgin in secondary school because my granny told me what's the point of sending to school if you're coming back home to speak pidgin English to us, right? Yeah. Because my granny was also exposed and educated as well.
Mm-hmm.
So pidgin English felt like an escape from all the Cajun English speak, right? Do this. So, and also my granny's husband at the time was so educated that if we said anything that was wrong at the time, he would correct us immediately. Right. So, but I didn't like it. Like, so I doubled on my English in school, like the follow up, right? Mm-hmm. So when we used to come home and speak pidgin English, my granny would be angry. Mm-hmm. But in school, if I spoke too much English around my friends, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because those ones, they already speak pidgin English. Like, if you want a teacher, say, you know what? I bet once Sunday for boys, say, Uncle, I bet dress. So that was the energy, right?
Yeah.
But me, I would say, oh, no, please excuse me. I call every blessed I overdo.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was at first.
But guess what? When I moved to Lagos for school, because I had left when I was 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I moved to Lagos for school, I realized how much I blended into the system properly because I already was speaking like one of them. Mm-hmm. I already knew how to speak well. You could hardly tell that was a worry, but except I told you at the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how much the worry part of me was going to help me in terms of like my content and
everything. Content creation, yes.
I was so grateful that I learned. Like, sometimes people say, oh, this one, they speak at Jebo Pidgin. I'm not like, I really did not learn Pidgin like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's come back to, sorry, your acting.
Yeah, how we go back.
That's one thing. Because your journey is so interesting for me that I want to know every detail, right? So now after secondary school, you probably tried to law, right?
No, I never tried law.
Okay.
Actually, even from SS1, I already did.
How did you get your dad not to push you to do law?
Like I said, my dad was just so strict. But I'm grateful because all of that strictness also helped me in terms of respect. Because that's where respect... And that's why I keep telling people, I might not be as extremely, you know, an extreme disciplinarian. I'm a disciplinarian normally. Mm-hmm. Even if you find out around my friends, around my staff, around people, I already took that disciplinarian route, but what I did was I tried to add a bit of sympathy and a bit of heart to
it. You're an empath.
You know, so I'm an empath. Yeah. I'm casually an empath, you know. But my dad was just, Nigerian men, normal fathers now. They're very, it's how they're raised. So that's why I'm trying to also make mine because I'm very similar to my dad in terms of temperament and a lot of things. Yeah. So I just had to learn how to be a bit more calm with mine. So for acting, you asked.
I'm just excited about your own entire career. Tell me the gist from when you decided to, you're supposed to study law and you got into for social work. How did that conversation change? Was he happy with that? Like,
my dad, he didn't know I'd change to science first because I changed to science to study medicine.
Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I changed to science to study medicine.
Why?
And then somewhere along the line, I just wanted to do medicine. I think then a lot of people will just influence your thoughts as a child. True. Oh, you should do this. No. Oh, which lawyer? Lawyer doesn't. They don't make money. If you see them, they're tattered this thing. Oh, no. You should be a nurse.
Engineer.
You should be this. Oh, be a doctor. You be a this. So I'm like, okay, great then. I liked I wanted to be a surgeon. So I was like, I like that whole, vibe. I'm going to go for it. So I told my dad that it's science. He was okay with it. He didn't show any kind of anger that was out of the way. Mm-hmm. It was just normal. So from there, I did jam for that. I did jam for post for medicine. It didn't work out. Then in Uniport, I did like a diploma called basic education.
Yeah.
So I did basic for 6 months. I put in for geology. So medicine, after medicine, I didn't make it there. My second course was geology. And I heard geologists are like proper, they work oil company and whatnot. So I'm like, that seems like a viable, oil company. I'm down.
So you were just about
and
to
oil money.
To look at
I was
the end
like,
of the day.
Yo, how I'm going to make that dough? I was one of those kids that as soon as I was done with while I was still in secondary school, I was thinking about while I'm waiting for my NECO and WAEC, I'm going to go and work.
Oh my God.
Either
that
as a call center. As a call center, yeah. As a phone person, or a petrol assistant and petrol filling station. Because I used to see that, in Benin, when you finish school, you're waiting. That's like the two jobs, or you go for skills acquisition and go and learn
the
skill.
To do the work.
I was ready, but I came back to Lagos, and that's when ushering came up because I was like, oh, ushering. Somebody introduced it to me. I was like, oh, fine. And then I remember my first ushering.
You were tall, you looked the part,
And then we went to see the agents for the ushers. She's like, okay, cool.
How old were you then?
I think then I was 17, because that's like my...
So you already knew at the time?
I wasn't in UniLag yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't UniLag much because I tried... After I did the basic, I was on the basic story. After I did the basic, it didn't work out. I came back to Lagos and I started writing JAM all over again. jam and post jam, jam and post jam. So in that weight at 17, because I'd come back at about 15, I was almost secondary school, maybe like 14 and a half. I hadn't even clocked 15 years because my birthday is December. Yeah. So I enter a new class before I even count my age.
Wow.
Do you get? So I finished around 14. Then I came back home. I tried basic as well. It didn't work out. 16, 17, I was back home, you know. And then someone had introduced it to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. We went to the agent's house. And she was like, all right, cool. It's a job for someone in Ikorodu where my dad lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. And she's like, oh, it's a party for this woman. And you know what? We're going to... Well, you're not getting paid, but you're going to get tea fare. I was just happy to leave the house and work. I was just like, please, no problem, ma. The small thing in my account that I've gotten from school that I used to come back, you know, I didn't spend.
Mm.
I went, I bought a nice hair, fixed my hair. They gave us uniforms. I bought black shoe. That black shoe. The number of ushering. Open mouth like this. I used that black shoe. Round. Yes, it was, man. It was a wedge, so it was comfortable.
It destroyed wedge that year.
So, it is the way I went to the ushering job. And that's how... And I loved it so much that I was even serving food. There was food.
So organized. So are you actually an organized person?
I'm a planner, yes. I'm an organized person, yeah.
But I did ushering job at some point, but I don't think that I liked it.
No, me, I did it for a while. I didn't exactly like the stress, but I was just happy leaving the house and working and earning money. It didn't seem like I was going to earn money in the beginning. It was just a passion of leaving the house, like not being sent around and just, I'm finally working because I've always wanted to be working. Like I've always wanted to work. Even when I was in secondary school, I just wanted to work so bad. It's so weird. Like people are saying that they were born for enjoyment. Me, I was obsessed with like finishing school and making my own money. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just felt like making my own money would give me so much freedom. And I'm so obsessed with freedom. Yes. So I'm like, this is like the best. This is the route out, Nancy. Yes. Like, we have to finish school, work.
Probably not so, not easy. Sure, you know those times.
It wasn't easy now. That particular one, Seth, I remember going to go and...
You well.
I remember going to go and serve somebody. Like, they didn't have plates, so I went to the back, entered, washed plates, took it out, served food.
Because that's who you are. Because
I just liked it. And then when I was going, they just tipped me like 100 naira notes, like 3K. Give it to me like this. And I was like, wow. And me too, the nervous, the naive little girl. I went to show the woman. And the woman took the money and shared it to all of us as our tea fare. I didn't even care. I was just like, what is this bloody feeling? I love it so much. And then I went back to still work for her. I did about two more.
Oh, she would love you.
No, I did about two more. And then I started getting audition calls like for my friends that I was meeting as ushers. So I started going into town. My dad too was allowing me, you know. And that's why I still honestly up to date to appreciate him. Because there's so many parents who cannot give their kids the life they want. But they still don't let them out. Do you understand? So let me go and walk now. No, be in the house. But then I'm suffering and there's so much I can make out of my life. No, because of morality, you must stay at home. But my dad honestly gave me the freedom to, he just trusted me. And the best thing I could do was not show up.
Why do you think he not trusted you? Were you always a good kid?
In my teens, as I was never really, I was stubborn. But I just probably, my dad has said something. He sees that I know how to make decisions, you know. And when I went to Benin, they didn't call to say, oh, she stole, she was unruly. Yeah. They absolutely loved my behavior. In Port Harcourt, the same thing. So he just trusted that I was just that child that could go out and not. And I also did him proud by not showing back home pregnant.
That's a big deal.
And it's now fucking dirty now. So I mean,
know how much that's
you get.
Where I'm from, right?
If I show up pregnant now, it's not a problem. It's like, yeah, bring back my grandchild.
Yes.
Yeah, because now I'm an adult, but like I made sure I had to wait till I was, I'm still planning to anytime.
Looking
soon.
At you. You were 15 and you already had all these ideas for yourself as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we all know what we're supposed to be doing, but maybe as children, we just don't? Because I remember I used to sit down in my class when I was 13, 14. I think in 14, I was at SS2, right? I finished at 15. Mm-hmm. I would sit down in my class, I would put my head by the window and think about my life like this. I'm not joking. I would be in a trance, like daydreaming about my life as a TV host. I'd watched them Uti and Dewele so much that I knew this was a life I wanted. So when I was in SS2, when they were trying to get like jam form and everything, I already knew that I was going to go to UNILAG.
Because
that's the only entrance that I needed to enter Lagos. Because how was I going to tell my granddad I was going to move at 15? Right? So when I moved here, even with all the distractions, my love, because by 15 I was already in the club. That time Uno was popping. I looked older, right? So I could jump in with my model friends when at Uno, we'd jump every other night, mm-hmm. we'd have a great time, but there was just a void. I'm just like, this is not the work you came to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I was always calling myself back, because I had friends who
mm-hmm.
got hooked on drugs, some who died along the way.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, no, so that's why when I've rolled with every type of person in this Lagos, so nothing is new to me. And I think because I did it early, 15, 16, I already had these experiences. I think it was when I was even tired. I just went to look for a job with Ubi. That's when I got mm-hmm. the Ubi Franklin job. I'd worked with him when I was 17. I think we had a break from I'd done the diploma in law. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Law didn't happen for me. So I had to switch to history.
Mm-hmm.
But within that space.
People have heard this story so much. It's like you guys have heard this story a million times.
Oh no, we keep hearing it. No. What's my business with them? So I had to switch to law. So but I realized that at every point where I could have gone south,
yeah.
I mean, because there's nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
I could go out anytime that I wanted. I was exposed to every type of thing.
You know, I'm also like that. Because and that's why I said discipline from your parents.
Well,
also matters.
I didn't think it's discipline. Well, my granny
it's
was always
discipline. Because me, for my own self, I even gave myself curfew. Yes, I was going out. That first whole freedom will push you out, you know, doing all whatever you can. Yeah. But eventually, I put myself on a curfew. I just put myself on a 10 o'clock curfew that I always had to be home by 10 or past 10, at least, you know, of course, when I'm not filming, but if I'm out.
Even now?
Now, it's probably even worse. I think my curfew now is about 8 when I'm not filming.
It's because I have made money.
It's because I'm old. It's because my bones don't carry me the same way they used to carry me anymore.
Wow.
And my brain is tired quickly because I'm such an intellectual that, you know, but it doesn't mean I stick to just my 8 o'clock all the time.
No, but of course.
I try my best. Of course, I'm an adult. I would, break that 8 o'clock.
Like us.
I don't do as much.
Why?
So I go out in the evenings. I don't know. Maybe because of the whole shyness and social.
But I'm shy. I'm shy, you but.
Yeah. But you like it. Uh-huh. I mean, I did outside as a model. Like, I partied as a model.
Let's
and I had
back,
a crazy
that,
best friend.
You went from being an usher to... Give me that story. You went from being an usher.
I feel like finishing the interview without even finishing the story.
No, because let me tell you what this series is about. This is not about... Yeah, that's an interview. I just want to hear about your life. Just give me gist, right? So, from... You started making money as an usher.
Mm-hmm.
Then people started recommending you because you're great at being an usher, right?
Yeah, so I started that with the woman. Then I started going for auditions, being an usher. Then as an usher... There's modeling audition, no. Okay, cool.
Like runway.
I will go. Like, all sorts of modeling. I was tall, I was lanky. It didn't matter. So, I learned how to catwalk. Actually, I learned how to catwalk even from being a beauty queen. So, what I did was, while I was still ushering, someone came.
Queen.
I did all this outdoor modeling. Yeah, I won a beauty pageant. And then, they came and they said, oh, somebody came and said, you should try for this pageant. And I was like, cool, I'll try. It was my first time.
When you were ushering?
When I was as an usher now. Usher, people will be sending text messages. People will be, agents
those,
are there.
Those BCs,
come for
BBM
modeling. Yeah,
those,
people will be coming for, agents will be coming to tell you there's a modeling gig. I think you fit the brief. So it's a hustle. We're basically outside, you know. So wherever outside goes, you go. You know, you can go for this audition and end up attending 10 auditions according to how your time reach. Who know finish before you reach there?
But were you always booked? Like, you always got the gigs.
I was always out there. Like, I was always literally, well, not exactly like always booked, but I was always doing something. I was always either at an audition, I just didn't want to stay home, or I was at an ushering job or a modeling something, you know. So it wasn't like I was always booked. I was just always working, like always on the streets. This is what you get, hustling and trying to see what deal I can close, what ushering job I can close or whatnot. So from there, the pageants came. My very first pageant ever, and I
What's
won
the
it.
Pageant?
Miss Valentine International. Queen of Love.
What's it with us? Yeah. It was a big deal to you at the time. Do you win a car or
Miss
something?
Miss Valentine then was actually a big deal. Then, yeah.
Miss Valentine of who?
Miss Valentine. I don't know if you... do you know Mary Melisha? She's the designer now, Rika Otto.
I know Rika Otto, but I don't know who.
So the owner, Miriam, she won like 2 sets before mine.
Wow.
So they got cars. Like, they got, it was actually a big deal.
So you
there,
get a car?
The car that they promised me, I didn't see you. In
not
fact,
so they do.
The pageant shut down maybe like 2 years after mine or a year after mine.
Wow.
Car did not see
but
nothing
you got money
that I saw. Monico.
Was the clout good for you at the time?
There was not such thing as clout. I was so not even on social media.
What did pageant do for you?
I entered pageant to get money, get the car, but it didn't come. So I went back to my life
as a model.
I went back to my life. I just now decided, okay, maybe ushering, I need to chill. So the ushering jobs I was doing was all those classy ones where, you know, you stand, like 50K will land, not 10K, you know, those classy ones. And then I would focus more.
It's wild.
Then focus more on my modeling. And from there.
Is ushering still a thing now? Do girls really get ushering jobs? Do they use ushers?
I still see ushers at events.
No, but like, is this still a... Because at the time, it was a craze about ushering. We thought it was going to do more than it's actually doing now.
And because you've moved past from that stage does not mean that it's not still a thing. So you just know more about this because you're now in this phase in your mind. But people who are there still feel like there's a craze about it because you still go for events and still see fine girls standing now.
True.
So it means it's still happening.
But I ushered once, but I think it was for an event. I think they paid me 15K. But I just did not like the standing and I enjoy serving people, but there was just so much protocol. I was just standing like this.
To take toilet breaks to go and hide from that.
I could not laugh at people. I could not even gossip with the people that I came with from England. Because we'd already planned ourselves. Maybe they don't choose us like four, three boys. Maybe they could get 10 girls because we usually needed more girls than boys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just see me at the go to start. I go wear white and black or something. Mm-hmm. This is a hustle. I remember I did one in Oriental where I was the one trying to take the food to people. It was like a worship service, right? But it was a bougie church that was doing it. So I stood there serving them. I didn't like the standing because the woman that was in charge always wanted to put me in front to be standing in front of me. I'm like, why are you? I think when they need to be able to call me,
you're in front,
madam,
you can't misbehave.
You can't misbehave. So I stand. You know what I mean? I'm a criminal. I want to catch crews. So when I want to cross my eye, they give my friend where we come from, most together. I say, they see this man, what can enter this place? But only if it's like, I just stand. So I think after that experience, I went back into modeling, but please tell me about your modeling because my own modeling, I always say it was the grace of God.
No, my own modeling was very active.
Girls had it easier.
I don't think so. I don't think so because there's always a campaign for somebody.
For
sometimes
a woman,
it's even just man. Majority of the time, it's either woman, man, or together.
Like how much were they paying at the time?
Depends, though. Depends. So I think I don't even think it was about the pay. It was always about the owing process because the agencies were always owe for a while.
Yeah. Oh, were you signed to an agency?
I wasn't signed. I mean, the advertising agency.
One uncle that will have all the jobs.
The agents. They're different freelance agents. But what I mean is the agency. Sometimes the brands don't pay the agencies on time.
Mm-hmm.
So they would definitely have to owe the model and the agent. So those weights to him. The small that modeling runway I was doing, you know, was just helping before I came
up. So when did acting start?
Actually, I just said it from the runway because I was on the runway and the director saw me and he was like, you know, you look good on. Yeah, just come and try out. We're at the office. So I went to the office. It was an audition. Galaxy, actually.
Galaxy TV. In Ikeja.
Yes. But I was just like, what is this? Me, I just came to like make money because I asked the guy, I was like, acting, would you pay me? And he was like, yes. And I was like, I'll be there.
Wow.
Because I was in school. I had to pay bills, bro.
So you were just about your coins.
It's about my coins. I wanted to just be able to, you know, fund my
school,
you know, because I've said it a million times. I don't come from a rich home. So I had to literally like say, okay, you know what, daddy, you can chill. I'll take care of my university. I'll pay my way out. So I was working to pay school fees, all of that.
But were you paying
school
fees?
OND, of course I was paying school fees. So OND was not even... OND for me was just make I do this OND. Then I was trying to save money to travel. Then over there, now you can be working, you can collect student loan.
Focusing your life, Sha.
I was all about school. I was like, just saving money to just like out. So I was just like, will he pay? Okay, cool.
So, but do you have a social life as a young person? Like, so I assume that you were about your work, yeah?
I did, to an extent. Like, I used to, from modeling
like friends,
gigs,
go out.
But my partying phase was not so long. I was just bored. I was like, okay. Been there, done this.
Lago. What hotel were you?
I wasn't even in a hotel. I was off camp. So when I entered school, I was doing diploma. Mm-hmm. I was doing social works for OND.
Mm-hmm.
I've already done modeling. I'd partied. So it wasn't when people were excited about certain things. I wasn't. I was just all about going to go and, you know. So I didn't even really mingle with people in Unilag like that. Like, there's no one person that can say, oh, Nancy was in this school and she used to be my very close friend.
Like, what year did you finish? Because I don't.
You might not even hear. You just know a few people.
Anyway, social work, sex.
I was at FSS. So I didn't really, I was always there, drive out.
You had a car?
I had a car.
Man, we're not going to the same school. Please stop that.
So I wasn't your normal. I had a Camry.
See, now you have to
bring
me back.
It was a dead Camry. That sometimes when it gets on the slope will slide down.
It doesn't matter. Do you know what I had it for you, like?
Yeah,
it was social status. Like, are you joking?
Yeah, so I really wasn't like my classmates because I was paying my school fees. All these people were collecting money for biscuits from their dad.
There's a influencer that I want to call his name. But I remember one time that he was, if I say this story, you probably remember. Mm-hmm. Like, he was literally driving in this car. I don't remember. He literally looked out of the car and eyed us. As we were walking, I think in school, we didn't have.
Were you guys rude?
It was
rude?
A matriculation day, I think, or something.
Were you guys rude?
We're not rude, but we just say we did throw the person since. Say we not. This person is a popular influencer. I cannot call the person at the moment. But so we did throw the person. The person don't say we don't still like her because maybe when they pass Love Guardian, they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
But on that day, didn't catch us with the trick.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, there were no taxis in school because I think it was an event in school.
Yeah.
So me and my friend, the trick, they come from gates. Rest his soul, Uche, his past.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Uche, they trek, they come up for gate like this. I just the way they adjust for the motor, look us, look at them trekking. And that day, we were really trekking.
Good. And I'm glad you mentioned how you used to troll him before.
To open and swallow me because. And it sounds like he will catch us trolling him. We're probably Love God. He doesn't know what we're about. He doesn't know where we have a car or anything, right? So this time he didn't catch us. He struggled in normal lag life. So he gave us a look at you. I'm different than all of you. So having a car was a thing. There were guys who did not have money,
mm-hmm.
but they had the cutest babes in school because the girls did not want to work on that sun and mm-hmm. they had cars.
Yeah, I had a car. I had a Camry.
So have you hustled so much from yes.
I started working at 17. I got my social works degree. Sorry.
Admission.
Maybe 20.
Oh, so you had really worked.
Like 20, 21, I think.
So yeah. did you know that you were an actor?
I bought my first car at 19. I'd worked 17. I'd worked 18. I think my first car was 500K. Or 550,000
Yes.
And I'd had like modeling gigs, I'd done billboards, I'd done calendar. I was working back to back, so there was no reason why I couldn't even afford. So I think I had maybe like 800 or so. Or I knew I made my first million very early, like probably 19 year about. So.
Yeah.
So I just like took the 550 and just bought that small so that Camry, got a place off campus, Skyfield though. What's it place?
Oh, you said Skyfield.
Yeah, where we're paying like 45-50K.
That's wild. So you have to hustle.
So I was there and then furnished the place at 19 and I went back home and I told my
God,
dad.
Oh my God, that's you. You are the
I'm packing my things because I had now gotten admission. Yeah. I hadn't even gotten yet. I got a year after I'd moved off campus. So I was like, I've gotten and I need to move into school.
Oh, so you already got the place first?
I got a place because I was working in town and I was courting more with my friends.
Than you were.
That were in Unilag. You know, because my dad, we live in Ikorodu.
We called people like you floaters.
So it wasn't easy. My dear, I was a proper squatter. Like, I've even squatted.
People are like you are called floaters because you're not even got an admission. There were people like that who were really
floaters. Well, that wasn't, you know, Skyfield was not even a place that had majority of students. It had working class people.
Really?
Pastor Dami. Do you know Pastor Dami Oluwatoyibo?
Oh, yeah, was he there?
Stayed in Skyfield.
That's the one in Sabo now.
Yes. So Skyfield was mixed with mature people. Even families were there.
Really?
Yes, people that were comfortable with their wife and one child. So it wasn't, there were students that were there, but students that could afford 50K a month. Do you understand? That's what the kind of hostel it was off campus. And it wasn't even like so close to school. You still had to it was a distance. It was Sabo.
You actually had some mobile at the time or you had some cash.
I had cash that can be taken into school and you must enter taxi. So it wasn't like, so I was there and then.
The car gave you problem because my first car gave me problem. Hey, I go gather my small money. I think I made my. I gathered all the 1 million. Like I was 1 million. Okay, I borrowed 200K from my mother, so it was 1.2.
Yeah.
Is this matrix where I buy you? Mm-hmm. Nancy, this matrix stopped me for everywhere. Nancy, this matrix stopped me for center of Ikoyi. I know the popular small.
Yeah.
So as it goes to stop me, I just wanted the car to push me because the office had to go. I literally was seeing the office, right? But he stopped me. At the start time, I said, this car don't disgrace me, please. What is this? At that time, I am the puppy. I was like, oh, maybe on 30K followers.
Okay.
Nancy, I had to come down from the car. And guess where he stopped?
Where?
That roundabout at Onikon. Where you want to enter, like, Awolowo. And you want to enter. So when it
don't
stopped,
kill me.
I waited in my car for like 10 minutes. People were honking. I'm not grill. I said, God, I'm like, calm down and show my face.
What would I do? Take your followers.
I said, well, they hung to the point where I was causing traffic, right? I come down with my shades. I remember my observations. My man was like, who cares about you? My friend was like, who cares about you? I come like, how do you do, like, say, I, like, oh, something's wrong. Like, I don't know, say the card was poor. I put down my caution sign and put it out. And I call them at the office. Like, please come and help me. I will pay anything to your gates man and whoever is in charge to push this car to that office. Because it was really close.
Mm-hmm.
As they came to push it, I just crossed, go the other side of the road.
They go,
I will pay you, push it. That's when I sold that car. Like,
yeah.
I realized, like, our journeys are so interesting because
my
I
did that car for stability
because I started moving around. It's my lover that got me my second car. Like, it was such a mess that the car, we could not tell what the problem was.
Mm.
But if I'd known better, like, I know that the seller just wanted to let the car go.
Yeah.
But that time I was so excited. I started making small money. I said, oh, for me to be going to events, my clothes come in the car when I finish from work.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go to the events and package. Oh boy.
You spend money where you don't get to repair car.
I spend more money on the car than, like, I spend like an average of 2 million if you calculate how much I fix. Because I did fixing of like 200K. And when the car came back,
that's when you should have just sold the car, bro. No. That's when I sold my car. When they told me my gear was close to the amount I bought the car, I was like, yeah.
That's why they sold it like that.
Started looking for another car.
That car was a loss, but I think it helped me for a bit, Sha.
Yeah, it did. I'm honestly, I'm thankful. Even as much as it had a problem, it was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things. Getting that car, getting my first apartment, my first studio flats in Skyfield, they were like the best things that ever happened. Then my independence really started. So, like, I'm so grateful for, like, those early starters.
Were you always anxious about what the next move was going to be? Because
still am.
Yeah, because when I moved into my apartment, I think I moved in with two girls, random girls, because we both had the same accommodation issues. I didn't have family in Lagos, right? Mm-hmm. So when I moved into my house, I was sleeping in their rooms because they had gotten rugs because we're all in the same place. But I didn't have enough money to buy a rug for the room that I was living in my old studio house.
Mm-hmm.
So I was staying with them in their rug or sleeping on their rug with them, trying to make things happen. But I never felt so good about myself that I finally could rent an apartment in this Lagos with the hustle where Molly don't jam me. Like, I didn't even think about a car.
Mm.
I honestly did not think I would buy a car in maybe like 6-7 months after, right? Because all I wanted to do was have stability. Like, say, you know what? I'm going to be here. I'm chasing this hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that when you got into your apartment, you not only knew that you were settled, what was next for you. Mm-hmm. So did you not push acting more or presenting more? You're still really just...
I think things just started... We were flowing naturally. I was already acting.
Were you an actor before? You know, just hustle.
I was an actor before presenting. It was professionally. I started. It was 2014 when I decided, okay, I won't be going to Canada anymore. I'll not be here. That I was like, okay, I could take this seriously because I was getting referrals. People were liking my film, so I was like, there's something here. Maybe acting is it. So what am I going to Canada for? My money never even completes all these years.
Even plan to be full-time actress. You don't already also go Canada.
My hustling, all my hustling was just to finish Unilag.
Skill.
To be able to pay all my bills and then to port. So I'll get certain amounts and then I'll take some, change it to dollars, put it in a domiciliary account just so that I could be able to afford, you know, whatever my school fees was at the time.
And that is a miracle.
And my cutoff mark was perfect for the school. I wanted to go to, Ontario.
Canada, right?
I think it's the coolest part, University of Ontario.
Yeah.
So it was a cutoff mark there. So I was already doing emails back and forth. I really wanted to go. But then acting came. So I was like, I'll still be pushing. Even presenting came while I was still acting. I was like, okay, cool. So I was doing
acting. You're not a presenter first?
No, I wasn't a presenter first. So I was an actor first. And then I started, but then professionally it was 2014. That's when I said, okay, I want to be an actor.
You prepared for all of these art forms? Because you were the girl that was probably going to be the lawyer in your family.
Mm-hmm.
How did you did, is it the discipline that you always had that made you thrive in every single career path? Because there seems to be like
a
common denominator amongst all the things you're doing. It feels like it's discipline that's holding you in every art form.
Discipline, yeah. Discipline's very...
Because you're not an actor. So you're not an actor before. You probably didn't think about acting whilst you're trying to move.
Apart from drama in school.
Yeah, so when you got your first acting gig, was your acting bad or you just It was just natural talent.
It was just people that even encouraged me. They were like, ah, the director was like, really good. They used to clap when I do certain performances. You know, I was shy, very withdrawn. Kissing stuff was hell. I was like, what is this? Like, how do I kiss someone? I don't even know. You know, but now.
You don't kiss as you like, oh.
It's nothing. It's not even as we like, because we know how to professionally kiss without any emotions, no saliva. Of course, you have to kiss professionally on television. Else you'll be able to watch it. It'll be disgusting.
Acting, what do you do?
It'll be disgusting. So it's just. But
don't you miss people that you probably don't want to kiss in your life? That you know that if not for acting. Do you opt out of acting?
It'll be everybody now.
Do you opt out of kissing?
Well, COVID, yes, I did a lot because of COVID, yeah. So if we had both our tests, it's a job, you know. It's a job. The way you find yourself, you find somebody else unattractive. So you other people to find you unattractive. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, because the way you find other people unattractive is the way there are people who find you unattractive. No matter how fine you are.
Like, maybe you don't understand.
Some people you might just not be people's tea. Like
I'm really waiting for the person who you're not expect for kissing, at least in a movie. Please, I'm waiting for them.
For who said you don't want to kiss me?
Huh? I think people like that say, oh no, you girl.
No, never had that experience.
You have never.
I think even during COVID, when I was like,
"This is what everybody wants to kiss." Out of my sense. Everybody wants to kiss. Who called you here?
No, but I think it was during COVID. I had to like disappoint a lot of people because I was like, I don't know what's happening.
I'm sure there's some actors who are looking forward to kiss. Like, did they go kiss that Nancy Simmer for film?
Well, people say that to me, and it's weird, especially if we're about to shoot together.
Because
and somebody
be like,
tells me, "Oh, I've always looked forward to like acting with you alone." You've already
you don't really get the
and
vibe.
There's kissing scene. I'm just like, "Oh God,
wow,
there your dream goes." But luckily,
I don't mind go audition. Me and Lassie see, man.
They won't even pair me and you together.
Oh, why? You'll be shocked.
But luckily, people who they've managed to pair me with are professional actors, people who know what they're doing. And
because I don't know what I'm doing.
Obviously not. Because you're trying to enter the industry to kiss. You don't know what you're doing.
I don't think I've ever been given a kissing room, but I don't think that I would just.
It might even be a quick thing. It might not be like, for example, when I acted with Lassie C.
Oh, right.
You know, Lassis is a comedian. He's out of the industry. Yeah. Well, me and him had to be lovers, you know, and we had just one kissing scene and it was a quick kiss. So I remember his friends, Sydney and Chris Clown, coming to see us on set that day.
They must have been.
And they were like, so you mean say you don't kiss Nancy? And they started fighting. Of course, they're playing.
I love it.
But they were just doing their own thing and they're doing that. You don't kiss Nancy, Abby. You don't kiss Nancy. And I was right there standing there. And
you're like, what's happening?
And he was just there laughing. So, that's the closest to like.
No, but if I had a kissing role and it's work, I would do it. But not like that. Because even in real life, I don't even want to kiss other people. But it's fine. Okay, so like, but you now picked up on your acting and started doing more roles. Mm-hmm. Did acting take a toll on your other career forms?
I think modeling just naturally, I just decided one day. The same way I said, I don't want to be an usher anymore. The same way I said, I don't want to go for beauty queen, nothing no more. The same way I said, modeling is the same way I said, you know what, modeling, I've had enough of this. Yeah. Let me focus on these two new loves. You know, so at the time it was ushering and modeling, and then it was modeling and acting, and then it was acting and presenting.
So now it's acting, hosting, and presenting.
So now it's still presenting is hosting.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, hosting on TV, hosting on stage.
I mean, like events.
Yeah. Anyway, I classify it as same, but I just say it just has a, we just say TV or event. Or event, yeah. So I host, I act, and I also own my own show, executive producer and creator.
But like your show, what prompted you to start a show? Was it that you had done enough time at trending or Hip TV that you
I'm still doing trending.
Yeah, but do you want to just have something that was your own or
I feel like it was
your dedication to work as usual?
I love hosting. Yeah, I love talk. Mm. You can tell from, you know, just having an interview. Yes. And that's why I tell people all the time, like you can actually talk a lot and still be very private. You know,
yes, I know what's up. Yeah, you
can.
Like
I can say so much here, but it's still like not up to like 0.5% of my life.
Yes, yes.
But it just seems like, oh my gosh. So that's one thing in an art that I've learned to master, which is, you know, learning how to talk. You can have a good conversation without bringing someone down. That's what I tell people. Like, if your conversation within the first hour is gossiping about someone or trying to brag or trying to, you know, then it's, that's not a conversation. Yeah. You can actually have a proper 2-day conversation without even digging deep into, you know, yes, your sexual life, yes, your life, or into somebody else, what somebody else is doing, who somebody else is. Like, it's a social experiment. We've literally done it for an hour, and I don't think we've put anybody
down.
People
that we can have
talked about
like
anybody.
That. I like doing that because it's not really my business to unpack whatever thing that you are. Right.
So it's just a conversation where we're both learning from each other, and which is what life is about. We have to actually learn from each other in order for us to thrive. Because I learned from someone, and it's always great when I have something great to share that somebody else can learn from. Because I'm not going to give you money, Timmy-san. Like. Yeah. If you get problem, call Jesus.
No, you,
if you get business, call me.
That's,
that's
me.
My ringtone. If you get problem, call Jesus.
Imagine
if you get money, if you get business, call me.
When I've heard about you that you collect your money. Like, you're about your money. So I don't say you get money, Nancy. But like, now that you're a star, you have over 3.7 million followers on social media. Don't people beg you for money? Don't people ask you for money? Don't your friends, your family members, people that know you from before?
Well, I take care of family. That's
true.
Important. I
That's important. But like external, like people,
I try when I can, you know. I have principles that guide me as a human.
Still many of them.
And one of those wild principles which I'm comfortable now sharing is the art of borrowing. She gets. I don't believe in borrowing. I believe in giving.
True.
So if you call me and if something I can afford to give you, I give you. Don't pay me back. Because I don't want to have, I don't want to walk around life thinking anybody's owing me. Because I get very agitated when people owe me.
Yeah.
When people owe me, I'm very, like, I wake up 7 a.m. and I'm sending you a message like, bitch.
So it's when I'm owing people, that's when I'm shaking.
Yeah, that's fear. Because you don't want to income. Like, you just want to pay. Me no bless you, big basic. But like, somebody owing me is rage.
Wow, Nancy. No one. She's a money girl. She's about her coins.
So basically, what I do is I just give. The only people who owe me is work.
Yeah.
And that's okay, debt. Everybody owes everybody in the workspace.
Yeah, true.
Your company owes you. Somebody else owes your company.
Sign, like,
it's a cycle. Like, even this country, we owe money.
True.
So, but it's business, you get. It's not like Obasan just said, okay, take
give
this
me
money.
There.
Just relax. Borrow me money, then I'll pay you back later.
Mm-hmm.
We literally did business, and that's why we're in debt. Get so those kind of owing is very comfortable. But what I mean is, when you're owing me, I'm all about, oh, okay, where's my money? So what I do is with friends, family, you know, people who just basically ask for money, I see what I can do. So if you come to me now and say, I need 200,000, if I can comfortably give you 20K and not even think about it, I give it to you. We are giving you 20K. You can go and meet 10 other people.
To give
and
you
make your 200K. One person doesn't have to give you 200,000.
That's a good philosophy.
Yeah. One person, you know. So when everybody comes to me for help,
they
always say,
emotionally, because they do that a lot to me.
But that's the thing. It depends. I just tell you how it is. If you've known me as a person
at all.
You feel
bad after?
I feel bad when I say no, but no is such an important word to say. It's such an important thing to incorporate in your life. Else you're going to constantly, your boundary is going to constantly be crossed. And you're going to end up living life extremely agitated because people will constantly cross your boundary. So I have such a firm boundary that everybody in my life, people who I'm in a relationship with, my friends, my family, most importantly, understand this boundary and just know not to cross it, because it's very firm. I will cut you off if you like repeatedly cross my boundary. I'll just be like, you know what? It's obvious that you just like disrespecting me.
What do you have all the metrics of your life laid down?
Go. I don't, though. Do you know, Timmy, you know the funniest part? Whenever I like to like put this out there, I don't honestly have my life
figured out. No, but friend, like compared to me,
I just have lessons I have learned.
Right.
I just have experience that I've gone through. I haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to be 30. So every year, every face is going to bring lessons that... So if you ask me something, an experience for maybe 5 or 6 years that I haven't experienced yet, unless I've already experienced it, because there are people who go through things that's 40 that I've already gone through in my 20s. So unless I've gone through it, if I haven't gone through it, I will be clueless.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you look like you're intentionally living.
I am an intentional liver, if it's that one.
Yeah.
I live intentionally.
Okay, so I think that the difference between me and you is that whilst I try to live intentionally, I end up being in my head most of the time.
Your emotions.
But you look like you have done the homework of saying, you know what? for this problem, I'm going to read this book, that book. I'm going to listen to this person. Oh, this thing podcast that my dad told me is going to work for this.
Yeah.
You look like you are very grounded.
Yeah. So I just take my time. Also not to be impulsive. You know, just take my time sometimes. I'm impulsive as well. It's actually a problem. Like I have OCD, so I'm impulsive about things. I would literally, but another thing that has helped me with is making sure that I don't procrastinate. So there are certain traits of certain people that have negative parts that you have to watch.
People are not the same, actually.
That you have to watch and you have to contain. You know, no, I'm not a procrastinator. I'm an overachiever. I'm a perfectionist. So it doesn't give me the opportunity to procrastinate.
Because I'm a perfectionist too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the level of perfection that I am, right? And they know is that I will bug you. There's anxiety. So my own is not,
I think I'm going to wake up in the morning and do a certain thing.
No, my own is,
I learned.
It has to be perfect. How will it be perfect?
I learned how to just from reading and all of that. But you see, the thing with perfectionists is the downside is anxiety, impulsivity. But procrastination is not a trait of a perfectionist. So you have to like find out what is what.
It's not even perfect.
Yeah, no, a perfectionist is not someone who is perfect. It's someone who just likes things at least 80% to an extent perfect. And when things go the wrong way, you can now call yourself to order and say, okay, what went wrong?
Oh, is that what you do? That's how.
Not regularly.
Because when things don't go my way, I have a meltdown. You should. Like, I have him. Because I've positioned that this is how it should work. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to happen. Oh. So when things don't go my way, it sort of makes me go into my shell. And that's why sometimes I don't go after things because I've done my analysis. This is in my field. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, or half the time, it's probably going to work. It's just me. I'm overthinking things.
But I feel bad though. When things don't go my way, I feel bad. I take my time to absorb it. But I just see what was done wrong and see if I can try again. Or I see if it's something I just have to let go.
Okay.
But I feel it's natural human emotions for you to try something. It's natural human emotions for you to be nominated for an award. You go there, you win, you know win. Mm-hmm. So my own is, when I win, of course, it's the grace of God. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. When somebody else win, why does it have to be Ojoro?
True.
You get, even if it's blatant Ujuri, it doesn't matter. Well, you must like train yourself to say,
okay, it's fine, I didn't get this one.
Like someone like me, I've won quite a couple of awards. I don't have an AMC yet. I haven't been nominated yet.
No, but you have awards from acting, right?
I have, of course. I have a few, but more of hosting anyway.
What are they hosting awards?
There's Future Awards.
Oh yeah, Future. Future Awards is that.
There's
Have you won the Future Awards?
Eloy? Yes, I have. 2017.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, I've won awards. Like I even have awards I've never collected. Self.
Amazing.
You know, so when somebody else were in the same category and you win, why do you get? It's just so it's that training of your mind to say, okay, yes, you were anticipating it all, but it didn't come.
It's probably time as well.
It didn't come. It doesn't determine whether it's your time or your turn. It could even be your time. It could be popping and then you're nominated somebody else and then they vote the person over you. So it does not mean that it's not your time. You just deal with it. I mean, you just tell yourself, it didn't happen this time, but it's happened for me a couple of times. How would you have expected somebody else when you win? So the other people, you want them to do what? If you are reacting this way, when you win, what did you expect the other people to do? So support. Be happy for, but I don't even think that these things determine. It's encouragement, which is absolutely welcome, which is why I honestly appreciate all the award organizers, because they basically, they don't have to, but they are encouraging certain people in certain fields to say, keep going. We see you. Mm. Well done. You get, so even just being nominated alone already is like a huge deal for me. So the same way, you know, you apply this one is the same way I apply to every other thing, award, job, audition, whatnot. You didn't get it, feel bad, feeling your emotions, but don't sit there for too long where you now have to start taking actions. You just move on to the next, like, let's go. And I think I learned that from my ushering modeling days. You know, I had and even from my upbringing, you know, just being a child who, you know, I wasn't spoiled. I wasn't one of those kids where you want something, you get it. Because what that does to your adulthood is, if you always get what you want from your parents, or when you're little, when you get in the world and you don't get what you want, you start to...
Like, you start to behave adult.
You start to throw tantrums.
Yeah.
That's what you did as a child. So it's a pattern that wasn't corrected as a child. It took on to your adulthood. And then you now learn in life that not because you want it, you're going to get it. So you end up wanting to go after things that other people have. And that's something my dad something my dad did not even train me to be. We couldn't look at other people's things. And I appreciate all of those things. Yes. Like, because then it felt like punishment. But now I'm not looking, if I like your your pants is because I can afford to buy it. So I ask you, how much is it and where can I get it? And then you tell me I've moved on. So I don't like it enough to want to steal it from you.
Right.
Do you understand? I don't like it enough to hate you for it.
Right.
I can either afford it or I can't. It's one or two things. And if I can't afford it now, in another 5 years with how much I work, there's going to be something so that is higher than this. And I can afford it. So
you're an angel in this Lagos.
Hey!
In the same Lagos.
So what it is you have to just... Well, we're talking about...
I don't remember.
We're not going from left to right.
No, I like how we're moving. Because so the idea of this episode is to let people understand what the journey means, mm-hmm. right? So as with every other person who's trying to become a public figure who's trying to become a host or the next Nancy Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
There are too many things that we produce on social media that's not the reality of our space.
Of
right? So I really want people to understand that before somebody started wearing Bottega and carrying expensive bags and becoming an actor mm-hmm. and this thing, they had process.
Mm-hmm.
And you have fantastic process. Like,
thank you.
Right now, you have gone from that girl that used to host trending that we all liked mm-hmm. on TV to mm-hmm. hosting some of the biggest shows in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel? What happened? How did that change? Will you say that the consistency of your work and your craft brought you here? Or is there something about you that is just... Or maybe your discipline? Or just tell me what has happened.
Everything comes together. Everything that you've mentioned comes together for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, not forgetting the God factor.
Of course.
And the grace factor.
Of course. So you believe that?
Believe what exactly?
That...
My name, Nancy, means grace.
I love it.
Yeah. I believe in grace. I believe in God.
You believe it? Oh, I'm happy you do.
I believe in God.
No. Sometimes I have to...
What did you think I believed in, please?
No. So let me tell you something. There's some of my friends, and you know what I'm talking about. I know why they're laughing. There's some of my friends who I...
Mm.
I mean, because they've done things by themselves over the years. I mean, and also religion has not been nice to them, or they probably had experiences.
Not religion, now.
Like, just having a relationship with God.
You know, God... That's what people mistake this for. God does not belong to any religion.
Right.
The same way Sango, you know, worshippers, they pray to God too.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be the same God in your head, you know. The same way when they pray in a shrine, they say Chi.
Sure.
You know, the same way. There's always a God, you know. So it means all of us, with all our religions, we all believe. That is a higher power than us. That's our God.
Which is the higher power that you believe?
Of course it's God now.
Which of the gods?
I believe in
you
God.
Believe chi?
My religion. No, not chi. No. I pray to God through Jesus.
Right.
Because I was born a Christian, but I also had to retrace my step and find out why I'm a Christian and also become a Christian for myself. The most important thing is just being a good human being, a decent human being. Which you get. What was the question before?
The grace of God in your career.
Yeah. So the grace... Hard work, consistency, knowing why you're here, staying true to your calling, doing what you love to do, putting in passion, because the more you put in the work, you know, I've said something on my Instagram once. I'm eventually going to write a book. So I feel like when I write, every time I speak, I have any public speaking anywhere, anything, interview, they always say, when will you write your book? My husband is an author. I have an author. They can write for you. You know, I think people who do all the publishing is a publisher. But when I'm ready.
The book will sell.
Not even anytime soon. But people already know. Like people like who have heard 40? Me talk will say, I don't even, there won't be a number to it. It will just be when the book is ready. Because it has to be packed. I'm still in a growing process. So all of these things I know now.
Like you.
All these things I know now will probably be chapter 4, chapter 5.
Even chapter
there are
one,
even
maybe.
Bigger chapters to come. So I'm experiencing life.
What if your destination is Hollywood?
Hmm?
What if your destination is Hollywood?
Whatever it is.
But
if it's Nollywood? There's nothing wrong with Nollywood. Nollywood now is going internationally.
I'm just saying that it's good.
People are even coming here for us. Netflix is coming here.
That's not going to be trouble.
Netflix is coming here.
I'm not saying
no,
wrong
it's not even a problem. This question is asked every single time.
Yeah.
You know. Or what of Hollywood? Yes, it would be a fantastic idea. If that's my destiny, there's nothing that's going to come in between me and that. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get? Even if I don't want to, it's just going to happen. But at the same time, what if it's Nollywood?
Yeah.
Because right now we have Netflix coming, we have Amazon coming.
And they have good productions. Know, I know that's a new movie that's coming out.
Yeah, Superstar.
Fantastic.
King of Boys. Thank you. King of Boys has been spoken about in a parliament far away from here. So eventually, we're all here, we're doing the work, but we can't continue to do the work for Nollywood. and not have the intention to grow it.
Yeah.
To grow it. Always having the intention that I'm just doing it for the meantime, I will come out.
Mm.
It's almost the way we treat earth. And that's why sometimes I have a problem with religion. Because with you, this earth is not my own. Yes, it's not your own. We're all spirit beings having a human experience. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, whenever. When it's time, that's why I feel like procrastination is just a waste of time. Because who told you you have tomorrow? You know, you must live like you don't have tomorrow. You must get whatever work you have to do for today, finish it. Because what if you don't wake up? That's somebody else's burden to worry about. Pay your bills, pay your debts. You know, do what you gotta do every day. Don't leave what could be done today to tomorrow. You know, get it done. And that's why I'm anti-procrastination, because there's just no reason why you're procrastinating. Because you don't know. You procrastinate because you're confident that you have tomorrow. I'm not confident I have tomorrow.
Yeah. And so you live life.
I'm not confident.
Yeah, I'm confident I have tomorrow. Jesus, and I'm confident I have tomorrow.
I'm not confident I have tomorrow.
Jesus has promised me my
people
future.
Jesus died at 33.
No, I'm not 33 yet.
People die younger. People die whenever, but they live life there are people who, from a very young age, have had cancer, have had AIDS. They don't have time. They literally tick tock. They could leave whenever. So it's basically just living like, and the people who have died. You're not more special. You're not more talented. God does not love you more than them. It's just when it's time, you gotta go.
You know, I have to say something, and I'm gonna say it on this show. It's like, like when a tree's bearing good fruits, you can literally see it. And I think that your life, like, now I understand why your fruits are good. Because you are so grounded. You have a good head on your shoulders. You know the right things. Like I'm like, huh? This Instagram girl, right? So like, I just feel like you have all the, like, you might not have figured everything out at the beginning, but I feel like over time, your journey, you have added like knowledge to yourself that has helped
learning.
You. And literally how you think about life is interesting. Because
I think, another thing that also like adds to this, let me quickly say this, is Oprah. Because Oprah is like one of my absolute mentors,
you know,
absolute mentors. So I read Oprah's books, I watch her documentary, I read write-ups, you know, and whatever she honestly says is a good thing, I literally go and check for it and decide for myself. But like, Oprah is somebody who is just absolutely packed with wisdom. So also choosing your mentor also matters. Now, I don't think of Oprah as without mistakes, and that's why if somebody comes to me and say, now Oprah be your mentor, Percy, where they shit for Lylon. I didn't love Oprah because she shits in Lylon, and I did not expect that Oprah would not have flaws. What I've taken and described as my mentor is who she has chosen to show us. Now, if you now decide to go and start digging what does not concern you, she's not come out to say it, it's not even real. If she's not confirmed it, it's not even real. Do you understand? So you're going to go and dig and come and just to prove to us that this person is shit. It just makes you more of shit than it is, than it does for the person. For me, and that's my mindset. But for other people, it might be, hey, tea on this person. Yes, I don't, they talk, come, says that this person, no, perfect. Do you understand?
Yes.
So for me, it's just going through life and reading from these people, learning from them, you know, trying to, even if I've not, everything I've said yet, there might be a few things that I've not totally absorbed into myself, but it's in my subconscious. So I try every day to make decisions towards it. Some days I procrastinate. I try not to procrastinate. It's like embedded in my head. Procrastination, no. But sometimes, somehow, you might be tired, you might be sick. You might just be like, you know what, today I'm not adult and I'm
not so hard on yourself
this.
Anyway.
Me, I'm my biggest critic, my biggest cheerleader, my biggest spoiler. I'm like, I literally look at the shoe and say, I want this. And if I can get it immediately, I get it. If I can get it later, I get it.
Are you as self-absorbed as I think I am? Because sometimes I can just literally be on my Instagram like, oh, wow, this boy have really done so well.
That's affirmation.
Some other days, I'm like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
I'm that same person.
Yes. Biggest critic and cheerleader.
Yeah. Also, this entire episode was just for you.
Your producers will soon die. Like,
they will die. They will keep shouting there. We keep saying what I want to say. If you like, maybe the episode will be two episodes into two. I don't care.
This is
on my show. I'm joking. I'm about to wrap up. But I really, that's why I'm trying to rush this
conversation. I'm here
but
for you.
I really wanted this episode to be a blueprint for lots of young girls who are trying to be like you. I imagine that some people who, my assistant I was trying to employ just now, just literally said, you are a woman crush. So a lot of young people who look up to you, like, I was looking for a blueprint or a particular template, but I've even gotten more than I and that I anticipated, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, is there anything that you want to say to, like, young people?
First,
like, people who are trying to tour the land.
First, honestly, it makes me very nervous when people say, you know, I'm making up to you. Because, like, I'm literally just having my own human experience, to get, and it's extremely flawed. You know, as perfect as it seems to somebody else, it's extremely flawed, to get. But my flaws are grounded flaws. You know, I try not to make stupid flaws.
Because so if you made it like, if there's a big scandal about you in the blogs now, how would you react to it? How would you handle it? Would you be devastated?
Honestly, I've totally conditioned my mind into, it will hurt. I mean, if somebody writes something that is not true, because people literally feed off the hands of these, you know, gossips. They like, whatever they see is true.
Because it needs something.
So all they just need
is
just one or two. Maybe she drives a white car and this, and they'll just put any story and then people will believe, because there's one or two atoms of truth.
Yeah,
you know?
Also, they'd be looking for stories to bring you down anyway.
A gossip will also be a gossip. True, so it's not, but for me, yes, I will feel bad if it's completely lies. If it's not lies and is probably what is true, I might just be like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, fine. Maybe I wanted to keep this information private, but they brought it out. Oh, well, cool. But if it's a lie, it will hurt. But at the same time, I have to understand my own truth is my truth.
True.
You know, I know my truth, and people who know me, you know my truth. They know what I stand for. They know what I can do. So these people will read. These are the people that really matter. The people who know me. They'll read this and they'll be like, oh, rubbish. We know this girl. Like, we know things that this is not true.
So you don't care what other people are thinking. The people who matter are the people who matter.
People who matter. What matters is also how I feel. Because if you keep going through life with what everybody's thinking, yeah, I still care about what people think. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've not mastered that. That's why I'm waiting for old age so that I can. Because old people are the ones who have mastered.
I heard that when you hit maybe 40 or 45.
Yeah, they don't care. Because it's like, I've lived it all. Like, what are you thinking anymore? So for me, I'm looking forward to that stage. But I'm also training myself not to get triggered by everything. You know, because you just lose your sanity getting triggered by everything. And then you lose your humanity. You become extremely, you know, you come into your room and you're suspecting everybody. You're standoffish from everybody because you've now decided to let that one person determine what everybody is. So I try to experience people for what they are, you know, and I try not to let things trigger me and stay too long in things that do not benefit me mentally. Because me, my mental health is very fragile. Like, not just smarting like this, and I go just day out, no one comes. So I have to completely just make sure that I'm trying, you know, even when I'm not trying. Small. We still get life to live. You get still long. Anyhow, we go. But to the young people watching, you were asking me, thank you. You were asking me about the young people.
Yeah.
Please find your own path. You know, Nancy's on her own path. Yes, I love the fact that you're taking what you can, but take the work ethics. Always take the work ethics. The work ethics, whenever you stumble upon interviews I've done or public speaking, take what you can and just like try to spin it around to fit into your own path.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm still human. You know, that's what I always say.
Are you?
I'm very human. I'm very human.
You're almost too perfect.
So I'm far from perfect. Don't even listen to him. They're just principles will make me perfect. I can stay here today and say I hate cinema, and then tomorrow a situation will come and you see me stealing, you know, and you'll be like, but Nancy, I thought you said that's the human part. It's just, it just means I've tried my best my entire life to live by certain principle. But stealing is a no-no. That's not going to happen.
No, I know.
I'm just using an example of how things can be. You can eventually have this principle, but one day I'm hoping I stick to my principles because so far so good. I've tried my best. But please have principles and just be kind. All I preach is kindness, love, sympathy, empathy, imperfection. You know, people who watch my stories or see, I talk a lot about imperfection. We're all imperfect. And so give the other person space, understand the other person for what they are and just appreciate them for that. We all do not come from the same background. I cannot talk like Timmy-san. I cannot eat like Timmy-san. If Timmy-san is more refined than I am, it's because I didn't get the same opportunity, you know. So the fact that you sound or do things better than somebody else might mean that the person didn't have the opportunity that you had to have this kind of upbringing, you know, which is why I'm very particular about parents bringing in kids into this world.
True.
There's a certain standard of upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready to give that standard, and it has nothing to do with money, it has to do with here. If you're not ready to give that standard, chill.
some of us have to train ourselves eventually.
Yeah. And I think that's even more exciting when you get to train yourself. Because you make mistakes. No, but it's perfect. So when you're training your kids, it's even more perfect. Yeah, like somebody has to break that. Gets, because obviously your parents didn't do that because they did it because it's what they're used to.
Yeah.
And they stuck to it. So you're breaking that cycle to retrain yourself, because trust me, in their minds, they trained you.
Yes.
It just is not training for you. Do you understand? In the real world, especially now, it's not training, you know, but that's what they got from their parents. But instead of them to break the cycle, they continued it. So if you decide, out of all my siblings, I want to be the one to break the cycle and start a fresh generation with this mindset, then that's left for you. Do you understand?
Already doing that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I don't sit down blaming. Yeah. I do the blame game when I can, but at the same time, I'm thankful. Everything I've ever gone through in this life, every single thing has positioned me for today on this couch.
Amazing.
My entire life as a 29-year-old has positioned me for this moment, walking through to sit down and have this chat with you. So everything is predestined.
This episode has been fire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers to 30. I wish you.
Thank you so much. I can't wait.
A great life ahead. Your career is going to blossom. You are doing so amazing. You're an inspiration to a lot of people. Please don't change. Just be the same girl. You're so unproblematic. I can't. I'm just like, huh? I don't even believe that this is your personality. But it's so great to have you on. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah, bring the mic back. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to sleep, but I can't sleep either because there's this fly that really loves me. Things love me, so they come towards me.
Is that fly in your cup?
It came to my cup.
Let me sleep on your behalf.
Thank you
so much, Instagrammers. It's been great having Nancy on my show.
Yes.
Thank you, Nancy. Do you want to say anything to my followers?
Yes, I'm very happy that I was able to do this for Temi San today. You literally just told me about it last week, I'm so happy.
I'm a last minute person.
It's okay. Trust me. If I wasn't free, if it was like in the middle of the year, I would have been filming. But I happen not to be filming today. And
I'm so happy.
And I happen not to. There will be a few people that will be like,
booked.
We've been calling Nancy for interviews, so do you mean? Please, I'm not trying to shun you or anything. Yeah, Tennyson got me at the right time. I was free today.
It's the grace of God.
Here.
Hallelujah. Cheers to you, Nancy.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Again, how many cheers did you do?
Cheers to 30. Cheers to more.
Cheers to 30.
Greater things for you.
Amen.
Cheers to less problems in your life.
Amen.
Just some more money.
Amen.
Yeah. What do you want for 30? What's your biggest wish for 30?
Ah, that's a good question. That less problem sounds like a good idea, but also more intelligence to deal with the problems.
I love it.
Because that's, you don't really pray for less problems. You just pray for more
I beg
stress.
Go, Nancy.
You just get
too much.
Because these problems that actually activate you for the next level. Without these problems, it's like a sling. Like
I'm praying for less problems. I'm praying for knowledge to deal with
the problems. You have to be drawn back to be pushed forward.
If you don't
have those challenges, you're never gonna learn. You're never gonna grow.
I don't pray for challenges.
Your muscles has to break for it to grow. If it doesn't break, it doesn't grow.
This prayer I prayed for you for this 30.
Yeah, I'm not praying for more problems. I'm saying, whatever 30 brings, I pray for the mental strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, financial strength to be able to go through them and come out right on top where I belong.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
But yes, we'll pray for more for 30. It's between me and God. I don't know what else I want for 30, but I'm just happy to be alive and here.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.